Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Amen. God bless you this morning. I wasn't expecting that. Isn't it a blessing to be in the house of God in the middle of a pandemic? And we're all in here and we're experiencing Jesus in a way like it is just absolutely unreal. And this is something we can't take for granted, and we should never take lightly, because God's presence is precious. Can you say amen? Amen. Before we get into the word of God today, I want to honor our senior pastors, Pastors David and Nicole Binion. Even though they are out right now and they're on vacation, we just love the heart and the passion and the vision that they've allowed God to birth through them for the house here at Dwell Church. And Pastors David and Nicole, I don't know if you all will see this, but if you do, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you. Amen. Also, we want to honor our other pastors, Pastors John and Jocelyn. Amen. Pastors Tanner and Emily. Awesome people who love God and love serving people. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, before I do that, I want to say this. I believe my parents are watching this morning online. Today is my dad's 75th birthday. So, Dad, again, happy birthday. We called you earlier, but we just want to say happy birthday to you. Mom, I miss you. I love you. And let's have church, y'all, okay? If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And I want to read it from the Amplified Classic Version, Isaiah 41, verse 10. And if you're with me, if you haven't already, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. It says, "Fear not, there's nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice." Today, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes from the subject of strengthened and hardened. Strengthened and hardened. You know, when I look through the Bible, when I look through the Old Testament, there are multiple men that God used that had just extraordinary strength. For an example, you see Samson, who slays 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Well, you know, King James says something else, but we have kids in the building. Wouldn't that be interesting? Who needs Hollywood when you have a Samson in the room? 1,000 with a jawbone of a donkey, and he just went to town. Who's next? Amen. You know, we're from Mississippi. I guess I should tell you that. My wife and I, we migrated here from Mississippi, and my daughter, my beautiful daughter, Victoria, we migrated here in December of 2018. And so in December of 2020, we'll be here 2 years. And so we're some Mississippi folks. So if my southern twang gets you a little bit, he's from Mississippi. don't let that distract you, all right? But there's a saying in Mississippi, there's a saying that we have where we say, "All right now, all right now." And so that "all right now" has multiple meanings. So if it's something good, you say, "All right now." And if it's something that you help me, Lord. And then if you're about to get yourself into something, they say, "All right now." And so I believe Samson, before he got ready to slay those 1,000 Philistines, he said, "All right now. You sure you want some of this? You sure you want this?" And they tried him, and he went to town. Amen. And then who cannot know the story of David and Goliath? David was out of the shepherd fields. He was straight out of the fields, anointed to be king. That's a message in that. That's for another day. But God got him straight out of the fields and anointed him to be king. And before he even took the kingship, there was this Goliath who was a great intimidator. He would stand and intimidate and defy the God of Israel and say all of this stuff because he was big and bad. Any of you ever seen a bully that's just big and bad and you just want somebody to knock their teeth out? All right now. You know, true story, I'll take this little side journey. I remember being an assistant principal at a middle school. And there was this one boy, he was a brat. I mean, just as bratty as you can be. I hope I don't mess up and call his name. But anyway, he was a brat. His daddy was a business owner, and so his dad kind of upheld him in foolishness. And anytime he got in trouble, he would come and bail his brat out. And there was this one boy, we would call him a nerd. It's no other way to say it. I mean, he didn't bother anyone, but they were in P.E., and I remember being in the office and I heard the office buzz. Bzzz. We need a principal in the gym. We need a principal in the gym. And so I get down there and there's this brat bully, nose bleeding and everything. And I'm thinking, yeah, he didn't mess with the wrong one today. All right now. They told him all right now, but he fooled around and got some. But when I asked the coach, I said, well, who did it? And there's this little nerd sitting on the end of a seat. And he got up and he said, I did. And when he got up, this is no exaggeration, no preacher exaggeration, but when he got up, all the boys in the gym started clapping and applauding because he stood. I don't know if it was because he stood up for himself and he said, all right now, or if they were just glad to see that brat get his behind whipped. I don't know, but how did I get off on all that? Talking about strength. David, he took out Goliath with just a few stones, cut his head off, and held it up. Then you have, before Goliath, you had a situation where there was a lion or a bear, I can't remember which one it was, but took one of the sheep from David's flock. And David went and took him and smote him. He got him by the beard and smote him. He told that lion or bear, whatever it was, he said, all right now, you can either give it up or I'm going to have to cut you. And so David said, look, when it was time to fight Goliath, they were like, look, you just a kid and this, that, and the other. He said, look. There was a lion and there was a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine is not even badder than them. Let me at them. And I'm telling you, that's what some of you need to say right now to that enemy and that bully that's been bullying you and taunting you and intimidating you. You should say, look now, all right now. I'm trying to give you a chance. All right now.
I hate this screen lock on my phone. I mean, on my thing here. And then there's the mighty men that David had with him. You know, bad dudes beget bad dudes. You know, when you're good, you're just good. You think about these coaches like Nick Saban, coaches the Alabama Crimson Tide. Whether you love him or hate him, you got to give the guy his props. When he coaches other coaches, because he's part of that team, other teams, when they're looking for a proven winner, they seek out folks off of Saban's team. If you are part of a Saban coach team, you're considered credible. And so when David was on the run after Saul was after him trying to kill him, when David was on the run, the Bible says that there were men who were discontented and in trouble with the law. David had a band of thugs. He was so bad that they already... We are in Texas, right? They were discontented and in trouble with the law. And so David had some bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Oh, y'all don't watch that. They don't watch that. And so David had some boys that were ready. He had some ride and die buddies that didn't mind getting down when it got time to get down. He had some mighty men. One of his mighty men was named Benaiah, or Benaiah, however your twang can get it out. You can find his story in, I think it's 1 Chronicles 11, but anyway, we're just doing a drive-by on him. But the Bible says that he went and he chased a lion
on a snowy day down into the pit. Now, I don't know what in the world you're going to go chase a lion for in a pit. We don't know what the reason was. Maybe he came by his house and his wife had some meat in the smokehouse, and maybe the lion came and wrenched it off. And that's that Mississippi, wrenched it off. All right, he came and took it off of there. But maybe it was, he said, look, all right, now you can either put it back or I'm going to chase you down. And when I get you, I'm going to take the carcass off your flesh, and I'm going to look like King Joffe from Coming to America with your lion skin wrapped around. Have y'all seen that before? Have you seen the king with the lion thing wrapped around? He said, look, maybe he was just cold and he needed something to keep him warm. He said, there's a lion. Mr. Lion, I hate to tell you, all right now, I'm going to give you a few minutes. You got to run. But if you don't run fast, I'm going to chase you down. And don't think that little old pit's going to stop me. And so he chased him down. And he came out with a lion skin heater on. He was bad. Y'all remember that song about Michael Jackson? Who's bad? Oh, okay. Yeah, I got a history. And then you had somebody like Gideon who was hiding. And God gave him a word. He said, Gideon, I'm going to use you, and you're going to destroy these enemies as if you're one man. That's bad. Say that. Who's bad? Say this, they're bad. Let me hear y'all say this one more time. All right now. Listen, the next time the devil come messing with you and messing with your kids and stuff, you tell him, all right now. You get your word out, you tell him, all right now, don't get me to quoting. Better yet, after I quote, don't you let me start believing what I'm reading. All right now. But the message today is not, I guess we should have called titled this, all right now. But we're going to talk about the strengthening and the hardening process. And I told you about these mighty men and these strong men, and that's good. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about that. You see, in Ephesians 6:10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, when I was in middle school, I had played a little peewee football. I played a little YMCA ball. And I wasn't quite like John Miles there, who I saw his daddy posted a video where John Miles was on that flag football. You know what? John Miles had that Benaiah speed. John Miles was going after that boy. That boy had that ball, and John Miles was way on the end. And that boy was on the other end. John Miles went there, and the boy went on up. I believe that boy thought he was Forrest Gump because he was running like Forrest Gump. But then John Miles came out, all you could see, I think it was a red shirt. All you could see was that red shirt. Woo, 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 woo. And he snatched that flag. Phew, and all the action had to stop right there. The action stopped right there. But this is what I'm talking about. When I was in middle school, I was at a small elementary school. And so on our football team, we had about 11 players that had to go both ways. But in middle school, we had almost 100 players. I mean, every number from 1 to 99, everyone had a jersey. It was just those many people. But we had to do some strength and conditioning stuff. And so in the weight room, there was this bar. I had never been in a football weight room before. You know, we had those little Walmart brand weights you can get with the little gray ones. Anyway, but the bar wasn't, but you know, you could take the bar and push it up with your pinky. Well, in the weight room, this bar by itself was 45 pounds. And so the deal was, anybody, if you can't lift the bar, you weak. Come on now, listen to me. If you can't lift the bar, you're weak. And I remember being in line waiting for my turn to do a bench press, and I was like, man, just don't let me, I don't care if they had to put 5 pounds on, but don't let me struggle to get the bar up. And there were a couple of guys that were, and I remember I got to, because they started everyone off with the bar, and they would add weight according to your ability. So everyone had to start with the bar. And if you struggle with the bar, you were going to get talked about. They were going to think you're weak.
And so I remember it was my turn. And I took a deep breath and I said, whew, and got it up. And after I got that weight up, I thought I had done something. And then they put those little 5 pounds on there. And it was my turn again. And I said, And so they had spotters on each end, and so the spotters got it, and I got up. But I was glad it wasn't just the 45-pounder. I mean, just the bar. I was glad I was able to get the bar. But let me tell you something. In the spirit today, whether you can get the bar up or whether you can't, you can still be strong in the Lord. Are you listening to me? You can still be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I can remember my dad. I was going home telling my dad, Dad, there's so many guys out here on the team. Dad, I don't know if I even get to play. And these guys were bigger than me and stronger than me. I mean, some big old jokers. I mean, they were big. Some of them had mustaches and stuff, big boys. And all I was, you know, our team was the Vikings. And so we would say, go Vikes. And so I can remember, you know, go Vikes. And these other guys, go Vikes. And the center, whenever the center would call everybody in, he'd say, huddle, huddle. And so I remember I was like fifth string, sixth string center. for those of you who don't know, that's way back on the depth chart. I mean, it's like you're just going to stand there for the whole game. If that's not a fifth quarter, special quarter for you, you won't play. But anyway, I can remember my dad, he used to have me in the living room. And he said, come here, son, let me show you how to do this. And I have to get down in my three-point stance. And he said, come at me hard as you can. And I'd come at him hard as I can. And he'd go, boom. And it'll knock me back to the thing. He said, come on back at me. And he said, I don't care how many times you get knocked down, you get back up. Like you've never been knocked down before. And I remember my dad instilling that in me. He said, I don't care how big they are. I don't care how fast they are, how strong they are. If they knock you down, you get back up. And if you don't get up, you better be hurt. And my dad was instilling that toughness in me. And then I said, Dad, there's so many guys, I doubt if I ever get to play. He said, listen, let me tell you something, boy. All those boys, by the time you get to be a senior, it'll just be 20 of y'all still on from that class. Stick with it. And guess what happened? It was only about 20 of us still in that. When I got to be a senior, it was about 20. But here's the lesson. The Bible says it's in our weakness that his strength becomes perfect. Are you tracking with me? It's in our weakness. You weren't going to go in middle school and snatch. So there's these plates, 45 pounds on each end, plus the bar, that's 135 if my math is right. Very few of us were going to go in and just snatch that weight off the bar. It wasn't going to happen. But I want to give you just two simple things today. Two simple things. Say two. Say, all right now. And look at each other and say, he won't be long. So two things in the strengthening and hardening process that I want you to be aware of. The first thing is, he wants to transform you. In God's strengthening process, he wants to transform you. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, if y'all have it up there, put Romans 12:2 up for us. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. This is where the transformation in God's gym occurs. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You all see that? There's a transformation process to be strengthened and hardened. So back to my middle school football stuff. So when it was time for me to go into ninth grade, we were going to be able to practice on the big field where all the varsity guys practice. And so I can remember me and some of my buddies, we were walking, and on the side of the field, there's this big sign, and it says, welcome to Vikings practice field. And then in quotes it had, where boys become men. Did you all hear that? Where boys become men. You all heard of boys to men, right? Boys to men. Not them. But where boys become men.
The message in that sign was, when you step on this field, there's a transformation that will take place. Come on now. You know, at that little Baptist church I went to as a kid, the little mothers used to sing, and I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Anyway. But they would sing something like, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield. How many of you on the Lord's battlefield? Put your hands up. Yes, you are. Well, if you're on the Lord's practice field, you've got to get into a place where you have to fix your mindset that God is going to transform you, and you're about to walk into a place where boys become men or where girls become women, because God is going to strengthen and harden you to difficulty so that when you're in the face of adversity, there'll be not one thing that you will fear, and you will be able to stand flat-footed and say, God, I trust you. Lord, I serve you. And God, I give you everything until the day I die. And I'm going to tell you something. Just like I couldn't go and just snatch that thing up off the bar, you're not going to get to that point overnight. It's not going to happen. Now, you may see some folks that you consider spiritual giants, and they may stand flat-footed every day. Oh, bless God, I walk by faith and not by sight. I don't see what I feel. I don't feel what I see. And I just believe God. Bless God. They lying. They are lying. You're going to have some moments on that practice field. You're going to have some moments where you're sweating, and you're sweating it out, and you're going to want a water break. You're going to want to take a time out when you're being strengthened and conditioned. But I want to tell you something. On God's practice field, on God's battlefield, in his training room, he's preparing you for some serious stuff. And I can remember my dad telling me, if you get knocked down, you get back up. If you don't get up, you better be hurt. And so I wasn't big, I wasn't fast, I wasn't strong. Matter of fact, my mom, I can remember, if she's watching, she'll remember this. I played some YMCA basketball. And I remember the first time, this was my first time playing, and I was running. She asked me after the practice, she said, boy, why are you running like that? I said, what do you mean? She said, when you're running, your knees go all the way up to your chest when you're running. Look like you can barely make it. I said, Mama, I'm doing the best I can. And so I can remember we would have this conditioning drill. It was called the meat grinder. Say meat grinder. At the meat grinder, it was like this. You would have one person out front, and you're the person that's getting conditioned for contact. It'll be a person on this side and a person on that side. And so what you would do when you're ready to start out, you'd point to one of them. And when you point, they'd come running at you as hard as they could. And you're supposed to step out. If they're coming from this side, you step out with this foot and shoulder and meet them. If they come from that side, you step out with this foot and shoulder and meet them. Well, when you have these big old guys that's coming at you, they were coming at me. And I get knocked down. And I have to dust myself off. Buckle my chin strap back up. And then another one would come. After a while, I got tired of that. After a while, I got tired of it. It took a little while. I had to get my bearings straight. I had to make sure my chin strap was right. But I said, for the next one that's coming, I'm going to meet him with everything I got. And if I get knocked down, I get knocked down. Because God had put some fight in me. God had spoke through my dad and had used my dad to train me and tell me, boy, if you get knocked down, you get back up ready for the next one just like you just never been hit before. I'm telling you all something here. Some of you, you've taken some major hits that you weren't ready for. And I'm here to tell you and encourage you today, get yourself back up, right back up like you've never been hit. Dust yourself off and get ready for the battle again. Because the contact and conditioning was preparing you for something stronger. In the green room, I had this in my pocket. It's this little state championship ring. I made it through my senior year. It was my junior year that we won the high school state championship. And I don't keep this ring because we won the championship. I keep this ring because of the process that I had to go through to get to the place to be able to play in a championship game and even earn the ring. The Apostle Paul was on his way to kill some Christians. Didn't stop him from intercepting him, knocking him off his beast, blinding him.
with a light so powerful and so strong, all he could say, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus who you persecute. I got something for you to do. Get up and go to the city. I got to work for you. Don't you ever think that what you've done or who you are at the current will limit God from taking your life and transforming you and changing you and making you something better than you ever thought you could be in your life. You can't limit God. Say, you can't limit God. But here's the flip side. Once he chooses you, you can limit him by those same things. You can limit him by your experience, by your thoughts, by your opinions on how far he can go. I wasn't raised like that. You want me to do what, God? I wasn't raised like that. How is it, ma'am, give me a drink. How is it that you, being a Jew, is asking me, a Samaritan, for something to drink? Don't you know that our custom is we don't socialize that way? He said, woman, if you knew who I was and what I'm asking you, you'd give me a gullet washer. Come on now. I got one more thing in my pocket. You can't even see it from here. You can't see it. You don't even know what it is. These are seeds from an apple. Say, all right now. Oh, that all right now means things get ready to get interesting. Now, these are seeds from an apple. What kind of apple was it? Honeycrisp, I think. Doesn't matter. But these are seeds from an apple. I can look at these seeds. I can go, I can make fun of it. I can cuss it out. I can take my feet and stomp on it. At the end of the day, it's still a seed. At the end of the day, what this seed is supposed to be is still loaded with everything God designed and originated for it to have. Stay with me now. I'm almost done. These seeds in the hands of if I left these seeds here in this Ziploc bag and the cleaning crew came and got it, they're going to put it in the trash. Because, somebody just left some seeds. Wonder what that was for. But you can take these seeds and put those seeds in the hand of a fruit farmer. And it's this word I hope I don't butcher it up. Orchardist. Or put it in the hands of an orchardist. The value of the seed is different now than what it was from just being laid on a podium. Are you tracking with me? Inside of this seed is everything that it needs. Now, put it in the right hands. It's going in some soil. Is it not? If you put this seed in the right hand, in the hands of a fruit farmer, it's going in some soil. And once you put it in the right kind of soil, it activates everything that you need. Track with me now. Track with me. Track with me. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if this seed goes into the ground and dies, it will bear much fruit. Listen to me. Some of you, you're letting your opinions, your thoughts, the way you feel about things, how you see other stuff, your experiences that you've had, you're letting that be like feet. Have you ever tried to put a kid in a tub and they're putting their feet on the side, they don't want to go in and they don't want to get in the water and all of that? Jesus said, in order to find your life, you've got to lose it. And in order to find it, guess what's going to have to happen? You got to get processed. You've got to get buried in some dirt. Say, all right now. He need to hurry up because folks getting sleepy. All in the room. So you take this seed. Oh, before you can put it in the ground, I watched a YouTube clip. He said, you have to let the seeds dry out. When you all open up that song with, you're never gonna let me down.
There are some folks in here said, I ain't buying it. He already let me down. Come on now. Could it be that he just has you drying out? You see, his drying out, when God dries you out, he's preparing to do something with you, baby. Come on now. You're feeling isolated. You're feeling rejected. They didn't let you fit in. They didn't let you go and eat peanut butter and crackers with them at the girls' table. They didn't let you go and put on the fancy nails and whatever. You feel left out and lonely. Come on now. They didn't invite you to the party. God's letting you dry out. Come on now. He's got to let you dry out. And then to put insult on top of injury, he buries you. Plants you. If something's planted in the ground, no one knows it's there. Come on now, unless you're just acquainted with it. If you're planted in the ground, no one knows you there. That's how come you can have someone anointed, appointed, full of the Holy Ghost and fire. And if it's not your time to be revealed, God will let folks walk past you and folks don't see you. God will allow you to be ignored. God will separate you. God will isolate you. He'll put you in a place where no one knows where you are. And sometimes you'll feel like he doesn't know where you are. There's something inside of the seed. Oh my God. All right now. Woo! All right now. I've got to skip a few things. He transforms you. Then he trains you. How many of you remember watching Rocky? I don't remember which one it was, but I think it was the one where, how many of you ever watched Rocky, any of the Rockies? Rocky 1, 2, 3. Okay, you all remember. Oh, good, good. So you remember Rocky came across Clubber Lang, Mr. T, the guy that Mohawk, whip Rocky's behind. And so Rocky had a defining moment where he had to decide whether he was going to take the defeat. He had gotten Clubber Lane. Was he going to take the defeat or was he going to go back and train some more? He had gotten distracted. And I remember him doing some sit-ups because Apollo Creed was helping him. And he was doing those sit-ups. Yeah, and Apollo's trainer was on the side of Rocky, and every time he'd come up with those sit-ups, his trainer would go and slap him on his stomach, hardening, getting him ready for contact. Woo! In that defining moment, that's got to be something. Do you know what happens when that seed is in the ground? It starts pulling nutrients from the soil. And the nutrients from the soul of your suffering begins to awaken something on the inside of that seed that says, let me out. Woo! It's called the germination process. Say, all right now. When God starts germinating what he's put inside of you, it's a painful place. It's a lonely place. It's an isolating place. But it doesn't stay hidden for long. You begin to exchange your strength for history. You see that hard outer coating, that's called a seed coat. And it translates to our flesh. God has to hit you in your flesh. God has to allow you to experience some things. You know, we were in Mississippi and we were just going through life, and God was elevating us and giving us favor. And it was like at one point when I first gotten saved, anything I wanted to pray for, God, I need this, boom, happened. God, I need that, boom, happened. God, I need you to do this for me. Boom, happened. And then things started to change. I would say, God, I need. And it wasn't no boom, and it sure didn't happen. Have you ever been there? One of the ways he trains you is that he disappoints you with something that was so precious and special to you. Yeah. Something that was of value to you. For Mary and Martha, it was their brother Lazarus. John 11 tells us that Jesus loved Lazarus. His sisters loved Lazarus. Jesus loved his sisters. And Jesus was in another town, and they said, send word to Jesus that Lazarus is dying. I know he loves Lazarus, so he's going to come. And Jesus said, all right, tell them this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Come on now. And so the Bible said he's waited an additional 2 more days. And by the time he made it to where Mary and Martha was, it was already a crowd. You know, you can always get a crowd when it's bad news and when it's trouble. You know that, right? And I can almost picture the scene as I prepare to close. If we got some music, you can go on and start playing. So Mary and Martha met him first. And she said, Lord, I don't think she was dancing up to him like, where's Candace? Is she here? Like Candace Finley, and when she gets to dancing and the spirit comes on and she's dancing all over there. I don't think Martha was dancing up to Jesus and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I don't think that happened. I don't think that happened. I think Martha had some sister in her. I think Martha said, look, if you hadn't been here, he wouldn't have died. Where were you? And those crowd of people there, you know, I believe they were. Now, it may not be like this in Texas, but in Mississippi, this is how it was. If you mess with somebody and you messed up and the family's there, they're going. When she said, if you hadn't been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I can hear all of them saying, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You ever, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're going to give you that stank look. Mm-hmm. You ever seen anyone do that? But look at what Mary did. Mary, when she found out he was out there, guess what Mary did? She fell at his feet. She fell at his feet. And then she said, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he said, show me where you laid him. And this is where God is with some of you right now. I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes preach this years ago. Show me where you laid him. I don't remember all the details. But for some of you, you couldn't sing, you're never gonna let me down. You couldn't sing that part because the sting is still fresh. But I believe he's asking, show me where you laid it. And then when they showed him, he wept, but he said, roll the stone away. And then Martha said, Lord, by now he's stinking. She revealed where her hope was. She knew that Jesus could do anything. But she said, by now it's smelling so bad. And some of you right now, you're in a 4-day dead situation. And you think it's gone. And you've suppressed it. You've buried the disappointment of it. And he says, show me where you laid it. I don't care if it's stinking. I don't care if it's too bad. I can remember when my wife and I were transitioning from Mississippi. There were some things that we needed God to do to make our transition smooth. Follow me. And some of you all need to get this. God works in his time, not your time. Lazarus teaches us that God works in his time. Let me rephrase that. God is on time, just not your time. That's what Lazarus teaches us. And so for us, we were thinking, whew, man, when this happened, this happened, this happened, we're going to be straight looking pretty. And we had one thing. God had answered and set everything in motion. There was one thing that kept us glued. It was like we were stretched and couldn't move far. And we weren't connected. We had started coming to Dwell. But over at Potter's House North, they had a guy by the name of John Hanna who was preaching. And he was preaching. He said, it's not dead, it's sleeping. And that breathed life into us. Did it change our situation? It did not. We had a 4-day dead situation. I can remember my wife being so frustrated going to work to something that she owned. And God birthed it and gave it to her from the ground up. And it looked like we were just going to lose it. And on top of that, everything that we had saved up and put up was being drained. And there were times when we couldn't lift our heads. We were feeling embarrassed. We were feeling like our Mississippi peeps are like, uh-huh. We knew they shouldn't have left, because when we left, we were at the height of what it would be considered successful. It was a painful place. You see, our finances for us, as a giver, we are givers, natural, God-born, breathed givers. And we love to give. And the very thing that was our strength, God will hit you where you are the strongest in your flesh. God will take you there. And he let us go through a 4-day dead experience. And I can remember praying and seeking God. God, what do we do? Do we stay in Mississippi until the business sells? Do we leave, God? What do we do? It was like Pharaoh's army behind us. We were set free. Pharaoh's army was behind us and the Red Sea was in front of us. We didn't know which way to go. And I remember God spoke to us both and said, let it go. Leave it. And let whatever happen, happens. Some of you, your strength, it's going to come from you letting go whatever it is that is going on 4 days dead. You've got to be willing to let it go. I know it's precious to you. I know you're fighting tooth and nail for it. You've even confessed. You've spoken the word over it. We were confessing and speaking the word. I remember going, we had a couple that was really instrumental in praying us through and walking with us and interceding for us. And I can remember laying at the front of her office door on the bare ground with my face to the ground saying, God, sell this business. God, give us this sale. God, release us. Thank you, God. I remember decreeing and declaring, speaking over it, marching around it, all of that. And guess what? It didn't sell. And we were embarrassed. How many of you know God has the final say? And so we were here, had been 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, no sale. We get people that were interested, ready to sign papers, never hear from them again. How many times that happened? 3, 4, 5 times at least. Let me tell you something. We were kind of like name brand folks. So if we went to the grocery store, we got Del Monte. We didn't get Kroger's Best. But during that time, Sam's Choice, great value, never tasted so good. Let me tell you something. When you're in a situation, God will let you get some acquired taste. I remember fish sticks. Some of you, look, I love fish sticks now. When you get in a tight, God will condition you and harden you to difficulty. But there was always something in us, a seed of hope, that God was going to come through for us. Long story short, he did. Did he give us what we were wanting and expecting? No, it was dead. But we took what God gave us and continued doing the things that we knew God would approve of. Even though we couldn't feel him. Even though we couldn't see him. Even though we didn't know. We couldn't feel nothing. We couldn't feel anything. I remember one morning getting out of bed. There was a stirring in my heart. And when I got up out of the bed, it was like in my gut, the Holy Ghost said, it's time to push. It's time to push. And I knew that God was saying, you're going to pray, buddy. Let's go. So I went in the next room and I got in a fetal position and I started pushing and praying. And I even looked up how a lady gives delivery, what it means when it's time to push. There's a time to push and there's a time to rest. There's a time to push and a time to rest. And God started turning things around. He let us sense it in the spirit before we saw it in the natural. You've got to catch it. You've got to catch it. And then there's some of you, you're like John the Baptist. We were like John the Baptist. We were like, wait a minute, God, is this you? Or did we hear the wrong voice? You know, when John the Baptist was put in prison, you know, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. You know why he got put in prison? Because he told a man, look, it is unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. And the wife got mad and wanted his head. And John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. And he sent some men and said, ask him, tell him, John said, are you the one or do I need to look for someone else? And Jesus said, you go back and you tell John what you've seen. Would you put Matthew 11, 6 on the screen for me? You go back and you tell him you saw the lame healed, you saw dead raised. And then he said, and tell John that the blessing of heaven comes upon those who never lose their faith in me, no matter what happens. That's a hard place to be. If you've never been in that spot, it's a hard place to be. Knowing you're sitting on death row. And you're like, wait a minute now. I've been out here eating locusts and wild honey. I got cricket legs in my teeth, locust legs in my teeth. Eating locusts and wild honey, telling folks, repent, your kingdom is at hand. And you're telling me, God, this is how it's going to end for me? And he said, the blessing of heaven comes upon those who never lose their faith in me, no matter what happens. There's some of you in here, you've got to get to this place. That's where we were. Just so happened God did a 4-day for us. A long 4 days. Cold. Some lonely nights. I can remember some nights waking up in that apartment we were in and just feeling the cold chill of fear upon me. Saying, wait a minute, God. I brought my family here and we're not going to be able to provide for ourselves. God, I hold myself responsible. And I can remember saying all the time, well, when we transition, I want her to work because she wants to work, not because she has to work. I want to take care of her. And I remember the Holy Ghost said, well, what if I want to take care of her? There's some of you, you're in your strength, in your muscle. God is hitting you right where you're the strongest. And all you can do is trust him. If you will get to this place, knowing that the blessing of heaven comes upon those who never lose their faith in me, no matter what happens. And here are my final words. You say, but you don't know my situation. I don't. I'm sure it's tough. I'm sure your situation is tougher than a business that wouldn't sell. I'm sure that your situation is tougher than being humiliated or feeling humiliated. We didn't know what folks were saying. We got glimpses of it, but we didn't know. That's what the enemy will do when you're in a cold, dark place. He'll speak lies to you to keep you out of the hands of the fruit farmer and into the hands of the enemy that just wants to lie to you, tell you you're ugly, and your mama dresses you funny. You're not worth a thing, but you might be a tiny seed and you're loaded with potential. Oh my God. I want to rephrase that. You're not loaded with potential. You're loaded with promise. You're loaded with what God said you are. Here's my challenge. If that's you today and you're still struggling, I know it's going out multiple times. Hey, let's pray for you. You can't get past this. If you're going to see the true revival that God wants you to have, you've got to come to the place where you will never lose your faith in him, no matter what happens. Would you stand with me? Dear Heavenly Father, all across this room, there are needs in this building, some small, some great, but they're all precious to you nevertheless. Father, in my spirit, I can see. Father, I see past hurts. I see pain. I see discouragement. I see disappointment. But I also see rays of hope. I see sunlight. I see daylight shining over people saying that he's about to open some doors for you that no man can shut. There's some of you, he's taken the seeds of your disappointment and your hurt, and he's cultivating and he's catching every tear that you've ever cried. He's caught them. He's heard every prayer that you prayed that he didn't answer. And he's saying, my blessings are on you if you'll never lose your faith in me, regardless of what happens.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.